Welcome to Career Tools. This week, what to do after your one-on-one. The questions this cast answers are, what should I do immediately after my O3 to make sure it's effective? What should I think about after my O3? And how should I prepare for the time after my O3? Sarah, I think it was you and I that talked a little while ago about preparing for your one-on-one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
And so now it's time to talk about what to do immediately after your one-on-one. And what you do before and after has this great effect on the quality of your one-on-ones and what you get out of them. If you're not prepared, you don't get anything out of them. If you don't do what you're supposed to do after them, then the next one becomes ineffective because you end up talking about all the things that you should have done earlier. So before and after are really important if you want the one-on-one piece to go well. So what are we going to cover today?
Today we're going to cover capturing your deliverables, then do anything that takes less than 2 minutes immediately, followed by send a status update.
And before we start, I just want to say two things. First, if your boss doesn't do one-on-ones, that doesn't matter. You can still benefit from this cast. If you go to the website and search for professional updates, you'll find information, guidance on how to get one-on-ones if your boss isn't doing them. The answer is not to tell your boss to do one-on-ones.
But that's never the answer.
No, don't tell your boss how to manage. But there is a way to do one-on-ones without doing one-on-ones, and they're called professional updates. And second, if you're a manager and you're not doing one-on-ones, we recommend you start them because they're the most important thing. They're the life-changing thing. They're the thing that everybody says. That was the thing that made the difference. If you go to the website and you look on the menu bar, one of the menu items says get started. If you go there and you go to basics, you'll find the first one-on-one casts are there, and that will get you started with what one-on-ones are and how they should go and how to introduce them to your team and all those things. And if you are rolling out, also look on the website for Roadmap, which is our app which helps you roll out the Trinity, starting with one-on-ones. So there's lots of stuff. If you want to get started with one-on-ones, there's lots and lots of help on the website. So we'll go back to the task at hand, which is you've just had a one-on-one. You've just walked out of it. What do you do next? And the first thing is capture your deliverables.
Right. Now, if you think of your one-on-one as a 30-minute island in your week, neither you nor your boss will be getting the most out of the time you've got together. Now, we've already talked about taking time to prepare in advance for the one-on-one. If you don't prepare, you're very likely to miss out on things that you wanted to include, things that you should have included you forgot to write down on your list, or to just, in the meeting itself, be caught flat-footed, just caught off guard on things that you should have done but didn't think to do. It's equally important to leave 15 to 30 minutes after your one-on-one empty in your calendar so that you can effectively close that one-on-one. First, you're going to take the list that you wrote during your one-on-one, both the things that you talked about and the things your boss has talked about in their 10 minutes. You were taking notes, right? Throughout the one-on-one, your manager's talking, you're taking notes. You want to look through your list again and note any actions for you or your boss or anyone else that you might have taken down. You can mark actions in your notes while you're taking the notes with, for example, the letter A with a circle around it or a checkbox during the one-on-one, if you're fast enough, right? If you've got shorthand that's quick enough. But if not, immediately after your one-on-one, a quick read through of those notes to make the action items stand out to you is plenty.
And what we're going to do with those actions that were captured is put them on our task list. Because the point of having a task list is to have all the things that you and other people need to take action on in one place. When you see them all together, you get a different sense of them and it's easier to prioritize them. If I have a long list and now one thing says call the bank and one thing says write a podcast, it's easy to prioritize. Writing a podcast is way more important than calling the bank, depending on why I want to call the bank, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
But what could end up is, if you have an O3 notebook, which we recommend, you could have some actions in your O3 notebook. You could have some actions in a notebook that you use for meetings. You could have some actions on post-its. You have some of them in email. You have some text messages, which are action. And it's a recipe for disaster. If you have them in so many different places, you are guaranteed to drop some of them and you're guaranteed to prioritize incorrectly. So the first thing to do once you get out of your one-on-one is to A, capture those deliverables and put them on your task list with due dates.
Yes. And you also want to add anything that you need someone else to do to that list as well. Now, people could ask, right, why would I put other people's actions on my task list? That doesn't make sense.
Right. It's my task list, right?
Right. It's my task list. They should do it. It's my task list. But the thing is, they weren't in your one-on-one. If it came out of our one-on-one, we're the one responsible in part for getting those actions done. So let's say, for example, you're in your one-on-one, you're talking about product sales, and your boss says something to you like, oh, you know what? I need you to ask Susie to get the sales figures for last year so that we could compare them to this year in our next one-on-one. Now, it's not your job to get those figures together. You might not yourself be able to access those figures. However, it is your job to A, ask Susie for them, B, make sure that you've got them for discussion at the next one-on-one meeting. So on your task list, you need several actions. Ask Susie for those figures, make sure that you receive those figures from her, and then send the figures to your boss if Susie doesn't send them directly to your boss. Because again, Susie wasn't in your one-on-one. She can't possibly know what is expected of her if you don't communicate. And your boss isn't responsible for communicating that to her.
They just delegated that to you, right?
Absolutely.
And the secret of this is to do this action capture straight after your one-on-one. Literally, start the minute you walk out of your one-on-one, as soon as you get back to your desk, because the longer you wait, the more indecipherable your handwriting becomes and the less you remember about the details about what you agreed to do. I quite often take notes in my one-on-one of answers to customer questions or licensee questions from Mark. And so I'll have 3 pages of dictation. And if I don't do it straight away, and I have pretty good handwriting, if I don't do it straight away, the quality of it goes way down. And even a couple of hours, if a lot happens in those hours, say you walk out of your one-on-one and you go into a project meeting, and then you come out of the project meeting and it's lunchtime, and so you have lunch, and then you look at your notes after lunch, because there's a lot happened in those 2 hours, and in part of it, you've kind of switched your brain off from work. It's like it's 2 days. It just multiplies. The more stuff that goes on in between your one-on-one and capturing your deliverables, the harder it is to capture it accurately. Once you have your deliverables captured, and those deliverables can be anything from send an email to check the calendar to create a new project. So they can be tiny and they can be huge. What you want to do is look at them and find all the things that take 2 minutes or less and get those things done straight away. And for people who've read David Allen's book, Getting Things Done, and or I think the remake, the anniversary one is also called Getting Things Done. If you've read either of those, you'll recognize the 2-minute rule because it's a David Allen thing. It's part of his framework and it's one we've adopted. So if you haven't read those books, I recommend them. They're very good. So, you know, just imagine for a second being your boss and you've given your direct a list of things to do while you've been talking in your one-on-one, like send me this file, find the account number for this client, ask Jane to send me the final numbers for sales in Q1, see if the conference room is free on this date. Each of those would only take you a couple of minutes, right? Send an email, find an account number, see if a conference room is free. And so, you're imagining that you're your boss, you have given your direct this list of things to do, and in the 30 minutes after your one-on-one, the direct gets all of those done, you're going to be really impressed, right? You're going to think, wow, this person has their stuff together, right? I only just asked for this stuff, and already I have it. And it's not like you've messed up your whole day, because like 4 things, that's 8 minutes total. So if you have on your calendar the space after your one-on-one, if you have that 15 to 30 minutes, you've got time to capture your deliverables and do some of those two-minute tasks, or hopefully all of those two-minute tasks, and really impress your boss with your efficiency.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They know they weren't difficult. That's not the point. The point is that you're getting it done right away. It shows that you're ready for action.
I hate having a task list that's got 2, 3, 4, 5 small things on it. You know, I like to just see the big stuff. So it's nice to cross all those small things off. It makes you feel efficient, and it makes your task list more effective. You know, if you've got it all mixed together, it's harder.
Absolutely. Then the last piece of this is going to be send a status update. So after you've left your one-on-one meeting, you've got, again, that long list of tasks to do. Things that actually need concerted action that end up on your task list, and things that only take a couple of minutes to get done. From your boss's perspective, you've basically just been told to do a bunch of things. Now, you could leave it on your next one-on-one to report on that list of things, the things that whether you've done them or not, or that you've got the information they asked for, or that what your manager asked you for whatever reason, can't be done. There's a roadblock. Here's what happens, though, when you wait for your next one-on-one meeting to report on the status of those tasks. Your boss is left to assume that you didn't do those tasks until about an hour before the next one-on-one meeting. It's true. Why? Because if you'd done them earlier, why wouldn't you have reported doing them earlier? There's no reason for you to wait unless they hadn't been done. Wouldn't you, if you were the manager, assume that very same thing? And even if that's not particularly true in this case, isn't it true normally?
Right, homework. It always makes me think of homework. You know, if you've done your homework early, you hand it in early.
Yeah.
If you did it on the bus on the way to school, then you hand it in on the day or in the morning that it is due. Like, it's human nature. We all do it. Most of us are driven by deadlines. Behavior is driven by deadlines. And if the deadline is your one-on-one, you'll do it by your one-on-one. And what we're trying to tell you is to do things earlier than that. But if you do them and you don't report them, you don't get any benefit. You don't get
the credit.
That's right. And you want the credit. So make sure that you tell your boss when they're done.
You want to be sure to send that status update after your one-on-one, not right away, because you want to give yourself a few minutes to get some of those tasks done or check up on some of the things that you were meant to check up on. But by the end of the day or early the next day, day right after your one-on-one, depending on when your one-on-one is, what time of day, etc., no more than one business day later, you want to send a status update on that one-on-one.
If your one-on-one is at 10 a.m. in the morning and you're done by 10:30, and at the end of that day, by 5 o'clock, you send your boss a status list of, okay, here's the things you asked me to do. This is where I am on them. Or if your one-on-one is at 3, then the next morning, or maybe even the next lunchtime, because you kind of want to give yourself enough time to make a decent list. And sometimes you can't find things out instantly. If your one-on-one is at 3, by 3 the next day, you want to have sent this status update.
All right. It doesn't need to be a complicated list. Right, we're not looking for you to reinvent a wheel. All we're looking for is a numbered list, bullet point, the items that you discussed, and the actions taken. Whether or not the answer is complete or not, maybe it's pending, maybe it's in process, it's okay to just send that summary email, 3, 4, 5 separate emails about things that you talked about. So, for example, you could write a summary email that could be written like this. So, bullet point number one was send me this file. And then underneath that, you could say, okay, file sent under the email title blank, right? Customer X transaction file, so that they know where to find it. Then bullet point number two, find the account number for this client. Under that, you'd write account number blank, right? Write the number right there. within your email body. Then, bullet point number 3, ask Jane to send the final numbers for sales in the first quarter. Right underneath that, you'd put the status on that task. So, sent an email to Jane with request, given a deadline of 5 p.m. today, copied you on the mail. Bullet point number 4, see if conference room is free on this date. Underneath that, you would write right in there, yes, it's free, and I have put it on hold for said meeting.
So the manager in this case would have got 3 emails. The summary that Sarah's just read, the email with the file, and the copy of the email that went to Jane. And the reason we do a summary and copy them on the other emails is because your job is to make your boss's job easy. If you want to get ahead, that's the best way to have a good relationship with your boss. It's the best way to impress your boss and make them feel like you are a direct worth having if you're making their life easier. If you make their life harder, you might find that you are given a sideways move when you didn't want one.
Yeah, exactly.
We want to try and make his job easy. So we send the summary so that he can see it all in one go. And then if he wants the detail, he has the information about what he needs to look for in his email to see the detail. So he knows, I look at the summary and then I go, okay, I want to find that file. So I'm going to look for an email that says customer X transaction file in the subject line. The other thing you're doing is giving him information about when he can expect things. So for instance, the task to ask Jane for the figures for Q1 in the summary, we said deadline is 5 p.m. today. So this, when I sent this email to Jane, I said, hey, can you get me the Q1 figures? I need to get them to my boss by 5 p.m. today. Please let me know if that's not doable. And so your boss, instead of coming out of their one-on-one and thinking, oh, I gave Sarah a whole bunch of things to do, and I don't know when any of it's coming back to me, and I don't know how she's going to manage it in her week, you know, maybe they gave you deadlines, maybe they didn't. But this is a way of telling your boss, this is what you should expect from me. And that's, again, if you're a boss and you have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 directs, and they all have 10 things to do, that's 100 tasks you're trying to keep together in your head. And you have probably 100 tasks of your own. So as a direct, we're trying to make it easy for our boss. We're trying to help them with keeping track of our tasks. And if nobody else is doing this and you feel like, oh, I'm the odd one out, stop worrying about it. Just because nobody else is being a professional doesn't mean that you don't need to be either.
You're odd in a good way.
Yeah, be the one who sets the standard and have everybody come up to your standard instead of sinking to the lowest common denominator. I think people that are listening to this are probably working on their career. They're probably serious about their career. Otherwise, they wouldn't be listening. But it's easy to be brought down by the people around you. And it's easy to think, oh, I'm not going to do this because nobody else is doing it. And I feel silly. But you are making a really big difference to your boss's life. And making the difference to your boss's life is what gets you kudos and credit and promotions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it does. All right. So in summary, one-on-ones are way more than a 30-minute conversation, right? It's 30 minutes officially on the calendar, but they're way more than that. They're a relationship-building opportunity. They're a chance to dig deeper on issues, topics, things that you might need to unravel a bit between the two of you. They're a chance to show your boss just how competent you are, right? And you might not be able to do that in the 30 minutes. You might need the before and after to be able to pull that package together as well. They're time to send a message to your manager and to hear your manager's message to you. So you don't want to dismiss them as another routine meeting, just a status update, right? You want to use them for all of the value that they can provide to your relationship and to how effective the both of you are. And use that opportunity to send to your manager a message, I'm serious about this, and I am really dedicated to making your life as my manager easy.
Yes, one-on-ones are an opportunity, not oh my gosh, another meeting. They are really an opportunity. And preparing for and then being effective afterwards, that if you prepare for it and it takes half an hour and you close it out and that takes half an hour, that's 90 minutes in your work week. You get to talk to your boss one-on-one, no interruptions, full attention. Why would you not use that to the maximum benefit that you can?
Exactly.
And thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Wendy.
Bye, everyone. That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with more guidance.